Hey, this is Danny O'Neill from the Danny Dave and Moore Show. Thank you for listening to the Bob Gross and Tom Show. I'd really appreciate it if you checked out Danny Dave and Moore every afternoon from 3 to 7. You can stream us live at 710sports.com or on the 710 Sports app or listen on demand.
This is Bob Gross and Tom.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio and streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app and 710sports.com.
Welcome, everybody. It's Bob Gross and Tom. It is the show of record, and it is underway, which means your day just got that much better, by God. Coming up today, Keith Hernandez of Seinfeld fame will join us at 2:30. I think he played baseball, too. But
I bet he hears about that episode every single day of his life.
Does he hear more about his time on Seinfeld or his career?
It's a question we'll be asking.
Or the Just for Men commercials. Your beard is weird.
When he's talking to the three of us, he's going to hear about Seinfeld.
Your stash
That's all there is
looks like
to
trash.
It.
There's no way he goes through a day without someone bringing it up.
Well,
bringing up Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make some snide comment about rounding second.
Hey there, pretty boy. So we'll talk to him at 2:30. That'll be fun. John Clayton will join us at 2 o'clock.
The birthday boy.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
we'll talk about his love of Brandon Marshall and why he thinks he'd be an awesome fit here. We'll get into all that. But meanwhile, we've got to talk about a red-hot Mariners team who win another road series. How about that?
Red-hot?
Red-hot, man.
Red-hot?
They've lost two series the whole season.
Yeah, but they're 3-3 in their last six.
I don't care.
They're not red-hot. Let's not get crazy here.
They're hot.
They had a great game last night, a great game in game one there.
That's they're two not, out of three.
Yeah, they're 5-4 this month, and now they have a lot of work to do.
Why are you such a dark cloud?
Because
they're a game and a half
out of
first
place.
Because
it's a little frustrating that they're not gaining ground.
Yeah.
I understand that the division is what it is.
Astros
you know I mean?
Won three in a row. They've
Ohtani hit a home run yesterday. The Angels have said passed the Astros in the standings.
That guy's a bust. What are you talking about, Ohtani?
Angels are on pace to win 101. The Astros on pace to win 100.
What were the expectations of the Angels? I'm trying to remember some of the predictions for that team coming
after they got Ohtani?
Yeah, just you know how everybody does their preseason.
They were supposed to be better than they were last year, but I don't think they were thought of as a real live, honest-to-goodness contender. But they were not one of the teams that tanked.
I think they were thought of as being a better team than the Mariners, though, if we're just talking about the on-paper predictions.
Sure. Yeah, I'm just trying to get everybody does the preseason predictions and what they expect to have. And it's all just fun conversation. But for whatever reason, I can't remember what people were saying about them.
Second place pretty much was the prediction.
I think a distant second place because everybody, look, the Astros just won the World Series and they added Garrett Cole. How can you not think that they're going to run away with it well over 100 games?
And I still think when it's all said and done, they'll be the winners. They're currently in second place. Or no, they're tied, actually. They're tied. They're 24-15. Angels are 23-14. So they're tied and the Mariners a game and a half back.
But they played three fewer games, right?
The
Mariners
Astros?
Have. No, the Mariners have. They played three fewer games, I believe.
In all honesty, the only really highly touted team before the year started that's struggling are the Dodgers. Everyone else, you know, who you thought was going to be really, really good are probably going to be really, really good.
Mariners have played 36. Angels have played 37.
I was thinking about the Astros. How many
Astros
played?
Have played 39.
39.
Yeah.
That's three fewer. All right. So, that's all right. The Mariners would probably only win two of those three, so they wouldn't be tied anyway.
Tied in the loss column.
Right.
It was, but listen, you had good things happening last night. You had a guy that we were talking about who was trending in the absolute wrong direction as a pitcher come through and do what we'd all talked about him doing, which has been his sort of his calling card, right? And that's giving you innings, keeping the team in the game. Talking about Mike Leake, who goes seven innings, strikes out six, walks just one, and gives up two runs.
That's as good as he's been all year.
A game that was vitally important to do it, especially when you're handed a big lead at the start.
Yeah.
I mean, the first thing you're thinking when it's 4-5-0 at the start of the game is, okay. He's got a little bit of rope. He can give up two or three runs, and you can still get him into the seventh inning.
Yeah.
And he did get it in the seventh inning, so you got exactly the right start from him.
This is exactly what you needed, and I'm going to go ahead and take credit for Kyle Seager's resurgence. Ever said he was a bit of a disappointment so
far
this
season.
You're
going to take credit because you jinxed yourself.
Heard me. Heard me.
It's May.
It made its way back to him that I said that. Ever since then, he's made brilliant catch after big hit after brilliant. Did you see the sliding basket catch up against the wall in foul territory? That was awesome. Then obviously the grand slam, the solo shot. You know he's picking it up. It was fun to watch because first of all, your pitcher that had not been pitching well at all, Leake had been terrible, pitched really well against their best pitcher in Jay Happ, who you abused.
They finally made him look mortal. How's that possible? Jay Happ looking like 2015 Jay Happ.
Gave up 10 hits and 7 runs in 3 1/3.
A grand slam in the first inning will do that to you, though.
Yeah,
I mean, they left him in there for quite a while after that.
They did. They
what did he throw, 30? I'm trying to remember how many pitches he threw in the first inning. It was like 32 or 30, somewhere. He ended up throwing 84 in 3 1/3.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but the Mariners, they come away 17 hits, so your offense supported the pitching. It was a good game to watch. And
let me ask you guys this question. At 6-2, I think it was in the fifth or the sixth, I forget, but the Mariners had the bases loaded. They scored one run. When the inning ended, were you thinking, that could come back to haunt them? Because I was.
No, I wasn't feeling
you guys,
that.
I'm always feeling like this thing is airtight. We got leak on the mound.
No, not so much that, but I just felt like the offense was I mean, listen, Gene Segura is coming up with hits left and right in that game. It just felt like they've got their rhythm tonight. Yeah, you'd always love to see them push across more runs than that with the bases loaded. So I feel some level of disappointment, like, you kind of let some get away from me, but I didn't feel like this is going to cost them in the end.
Well,
I just didn't feel that way.
Six runs, you should win.
Right. Well, it was 5 at that point. It was 7-2, and I was just thinking that this is the type of game with plenty of time in the game left that a team that can hit would come back on you because you squandered an opportunity. And even if they just scored a couple of runs right there, it could have made the game close, that's all. But they didn't. Mariners kept scoring. It was great.
Yeah. It was fun. There were only 3 innings that they didn't score. So they scored in every single inning of the game except for the 6th, 7th, and 8th.
And now there's tarp on the field in Detroit, by the way.
Does that mean Danny David Moore may have to work today?
It means Danny David Moore may have to work today.
That would
it
be
means
shame.
they're on tender hooks.
I'm sure they're exhausted from the work week. I'd hate to see him have to slog through here and talk.
But in a baseball sense, that would suck. Mariners are already making up a missed game because of a rainout.
That's right,
in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
This is their only trip to Detroit, so they'd have to then find another trip back east and wreck another travel day. So it'd be better if they could play.
I'm going to my
as much as much as I agree with you, Bob, that I feel bad for Danny David Moore.
You feel
actually having
for
to work a day. But
you think they remember how to do
it'd actually
this?
Be better for the Mariners if they could if the skies cleared.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
I want them to keep it going, yes.
The worst place for a rainout for the Mariners is on an East Coast trip, and it's likely where it's gonna happen.
Because of them having to go back and make it up.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It wrecking another road trip, basically.
Hey, it is supposed to rain all night, by the way.
It's supposed to rain all night?
All night. From
and
six,
tomorrow,
from
too.
6 o'clock up and, yeah, basically for the foreseeable future. And then there's going to be lightning, too.
I just have to answer a text that Dave Wyman said. Yes, it does.
Yeah. I saw that, too.
Dave, yes, it does.
Yes, it does. It counts as 3, actually.
Winning here, Dave. So we'll see what happens with those guys. But I agree. I don't want them to have to figure out a way to get back to the East Coast to play makeup games if they miss this one. And you said it's supposed to rain there tomorrow, too?
Well, yeah. Into the morning anyway, so we'll see. Yeah. But again, it's against a team that's not good, that you want to go in there and be able to beat and just collect a few wins. Not only do you not want to lose the game and have to rearrange your schedule, you want to go in and just take these wins while they're available.
Absolutely right.
I just love this team's ability to come off of a down game, whether it's a bad game, tough loss, whatever, however you want to term the night before, and we've seen them do it a couple times, and come back the very next day and look like a bit of a different team. I mean, offensively, decidedly different.
That seems to have worked both ways. After the great wins, they've come in and had some not-so-great losses, and then just like that, they bounce back and they go out and just crush the ball against a pitcher who's pretty good, who's been very good the last couple of years. So I guess that's good. I'll take the emotionless transition from day to day. Would you?
Yeah. I like that they've got some resolve. They've shown the ability not to, you know, despite what happened, whether it's, you know, the pitcher goes out there and just lays an egg or they lose a close game or they blow a lead, whatever's gone wrong this year, they've shown the ability to bounce right back the next night.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part. I'm not saying every single time, but, you know, you haven't seen a long losing streak to this point. I know that's still a young season. You're talking about 36 games, but you haven't seen those stretches, and you saw them early last year. I think at this point last year, you were in the midst of a 4 or 5 game losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been going back and checking where they were.
Right, they were about 500, and then they lost a bunch.
Yeah, they were like 17-17.
Yeah,
and then I think they lost 4 or 5 in a row at that point,
and never really recovered.
Yeah, they put together.
They
if you look
back
at the schedule,
into it, but you know,
did they ever get over 500 after that? I don't think they did.
I'm gonna look because I've been trying to just measure where they were, you know, 36 games in, 35
exactly.
games
no, it's
in, all
worth,
that
it's
stuff.
Worth doing, but they started the year 2-8, and then they kind of worked their way back into it, but by then it was just too late. I don't remember them being above 500 at any point after that last year, but I could be very wrong about that.
After the 2-8?
No. After the 17-17?
Yeah.
I think they were because they slumped in September.
Remember well, they slumped for much of the year. I can't really differ.
Okay, so they were 17-17. They had won 4 in a row to get to 17-17.
Okay.
Then they lost 4 in a row. Then they won, so they got to 17. They went to 17-21, 1-1, lost 1, 1-2. Then they lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Here we go.
5 in a row, 1-1, lost 2 in a row. Then they won 4. So they were pretty streaky. I'm just trying to see if they ever got. They got to 30-30 on June 7th. Then they lost 31-31. I don't know if they got over 500. They got close, 37-37. They got to 39-37.
Okay. So once.
So, yeah.
Oh, that was a lot of effort.
It took
and a great radio, by the way.
Let me just tell you, it took a six-game winning streak to get to 39-37. All right? That's where they were last year.
You know what, though? Well, those kinds of streaks were the types of things that would fool us into believing that this team was going to be a wild card contender. Mm-hmm. Right? Because if you're just above 500 in July, you've got a pretty good shot at that, especially if it's going to only take 86 wins to get there. This year, I just feel more convinced.
Yeah, at the end of the first half, July 9th, they were 43-47.
Except this year it's going to take a lot more to get that wild card.
Yes, yeah. But I'm convinced that this is a good team.
Oh, well. No.
You're right. As far as making the playoffs.
They're playing a 93-win pace right now. And that's 37 games in.
That is strange to think about, that last year's team, let's just say they were 500 in July, getting to the wild card was probably easier with last year's team where they were in July than it will be with this year's team, just because there's so much more
competition. Just feels that way at this point.
It absolutely does. I mean, if you're to rank all the teams in the AL, how would you rank them right now? Would you say
Yankees, Red Sox?
Yeah, I'd say I still think the Astros are better. I'd go Yankees, Astros, Red Sox, Angels, Mariners, Indians, Blue Jays, A's.
Well, I don't know if I think the Mariners are better than the Indians.
The Indians aren't very good so far.
Bad start.
Yeah, but the
Indians, they're only 500.
Yeah, well, I'll bet you a dollar the Indians have a better record than the Mariners at the end of the year.
I'll take that one.
You got it.
What was the other one we had a dollar on?
I don't remember.
We have a dollar on something else. I can't remember what it was.
The Indians are going to make the playoffs before the Mariners do because they're in that division.
No, they'll have a better record.
Okay. I say I'll go in on that bet as well.
I'm just trying to look and see where they were actually above 500 late into the season. They were 69-68.
They struggled in September.
On September 3rd, they were 69-68. Oof. And then 74-73 on September 14th. Yeah, so they held it together just in terms of being above 500 by a game. So into September. I agree. I kind of thought they had fallen off before that, but no. And then, they struggled a bit.
They were not a good team last year. They were too injured to even entertain.
You had every pitcher you'd ever heard of pitching for this team.
Yeah,
right. Guys that weren't ready to be big leaguers that were being called up from the minors to fill spots. I don't know that this is a different team. It is. I don't know that the pitching's going to be decidedly different when it's all said and done. That's still to me, despite what we saw out of Paxton recently in his last three starts, despite what you saw from Leake, it's still a question mark for me. I don't question the lineup. The fact that the night before last, they were 1 for 10 with runners in scoring position. Yeah, it stinks. As a Mariner fan, you're going, ugh, man, frustrating. But there's no part of me that believes, yep, this is going to be a problem versus, you know, pitchers struggling. You look at it and go, yeah, this is kind of what you were bracing for and could continue.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's a different – I feel like this offense has the ability to bail out this pitching staff if they become very mediocre, if they remain
mediocre.
They
already have.
So they didn't have this luxury last year.
They've already been bailing out the pitching staff.
Yeah, in certain situations they have.
I mean, their starter ERA is gotten better thanks to Paxton and a few other starts, but it's still around 5. They've had 9-8 wins. They've scored 10 runs in games. Offensively, that's got to be a part of the plan, and has worked out so far. But what it is? It's a very good 6 weeks to start the season.
And other good teams in the AL do the same thing. Their offense will bail out their pitching as well. Even if the rotations are on paper better than the Mariners, but that'll happen with them too, not just the Mariners.
Yeah, it's just interesting to see that baseball really is what it at least 6 weeks into the season, it looks like we thought it would with a ruling class and a peasant class.
And where are the Mariners?
They're in the ruling class right now, but okay. I mean, the ruling class is difficult.
They're new money, Bob.
They're new money?
They're new money.
Gets the blue bloods?
They're not quite sure how to handle it.
The old money? The old money Yankees and Red Sox?
I mean, on pace to win 93 games right now would mean they'd missing the playoffs by 7 games.
Imagine missing by 7 games
and winning 93 games.
Yeah, it happened in both 2002 and 3.
Yeah, it's true. Jeez. I don't know if they missed by 7 games, but they missed the playoffs.
Maybe
2 years
not by
in a row,
that
winning
many, yeah.
93 games.
How would you feel about the season? You being the resident Mariner cynic, Roz. How would you feel about the season?
It's about the playoffs.
So even though this is a team that won 78 games last year and improved by what, 15 games?
It'd be great, but it's still the same thing as winning 78.
But you wouldn't say to fire Jerry DePoto over that if they won 93.
No, obviously, okay. Obviously it's a much better year.
Right.
In fact, at what point does this team start, and they may already have started, but at what point do they start talking about an extension for Service and DePoto? They're both in the final year of their deal. Is it a wait and see? All right, let's see how the season plays out. Let's address it at the All-Star break.
If it's not a wait and see, you'd think it'd be done already.
It seems odd.
It has to be a wait and see. But you're asking at what point during this year does that happen?
Yeah, I'm just wondering. Maybe they could be talking about it right now, hammering out deals. Yeah, or maybe they've talked to their reps and said, guys, we're not going to address this until the All-Star break. Let's see where we're at. I don't know. But it's interesting that both these guys are technically lame ducks.
Yeah, I wonder. When you say lame duck, though, the implication there is that it affects the players, right? It makes them not believe in the coach or something.
Somebody who doesn't have anything guaranteed passes there in the final year.
Right, but there's a term for it because of the effect that it has on the team. You don't want a lame duck coach, typically, because of the way it affects everybody.
Yeah, typically players aren't going to respond.
Right, but I don't think in this case that's really an issue. Do you?
No, it's a curiosity to me.
Yeah.
I think it's much less an issue than it used to be. Teams, you know, the amount of money being paid, you know, the control the players have. Managers get fired with 3 or 4 years left on their contract all the time. I think it's a much, much less of a factor than it used to be.
Would you bring these guys back? Or are you in the wait and see?
I'm in the wait and see.
How long do you wait?
I'd probably wait till the end of the year.
What about you?
Man. I'm definitely wait and see. I don't know if I'd wait that. Yeah, you know what? I would wait till the end of the year because they could be right in the thick of it through August and then fall apart like they did last year. So, absolutely. Mm. I'd wait till the end of the year.
Yeah, judge it by the entire year.
But if it's, again, if it's injuries, am I holding Jerry DePoto responsible for that?
If it continues to be like this, though, they're both going to be back.
Yeah, definitely.
I would hope so, right? You're currently, what, 6 games above .500? You're a game and a half out of first place, so you're in the thick of it. You're giving the fans something they haven't had in a while, which is hope.
Yeah, but like early. Tom said, it's May.
I understand, but we can only judge what's happened so far. You know, we'll see what's to follow. I'm not going to worry about, all right, they may collapse in September. They might.
Yeah, but if you were in charge of their giving them an extension, you would worry about that.
Have they underachieved as GMs and as a GM and a manager to this point?
They've neither achieved nor... underachieved. They've just sort of...
This year determines it.
Right. I'll throw out last year just because of health.
Right.
But this year does determine it. Yeah, I agree with the Groz on that one.
All right.
By the way, we could have asked them both that this week. Hey, you got any contract talks?
Concerned about that? You think they'd let us in the door?
You worried about
being
a
lineback? Yeah,
we've
been hammering it out, but I'm not happy with the offer they put on the table, so it's not looking good.
Yeah, that'd be one of those where they probably wouldn't share that with us, right?
Yeah, they'd give us the old, I'm just worried about the game tonight.
You're worried about your job?
Yeah, that's it. Meanwhile, there are stories out there in the NFL about some of the free agents that are out there, and people love to say, you know, here are the 3 best landing spots for this guy, and here's a great landing spot for this guy. And Dez Bryant's name is one of the names that's out there, and one of the teams that people feel like would be a great landing spot for him is Seattle.
Well, this is from CBS Sports. They put out a small list. It was like 4 or 5 players.
Yeah, I mean, these things everywhere.
Sure.
Everybody kind of does best available players still out there, you know, those kind of things, and where they'd fit in best.
But for at least 3 of those players, Cushing, Dez Bryant, and one other guy, the offensive lineman there, they said the Seahawks were a good landing spot. But I thought when it came to wide receiver, the quote that I read was kind of off base. Said the Seahawks have lost both Richardson and Graham in free agency, and they haven't exactly
done a good job
of replacing their product or their production. Well, I mean, they did draft a running back. That may not help directly at wide receiver, but who cares how you score points? They had no running back. They had no running game to speak of at all last year. They did address that. So why do we need all these wide receivers?
Well, you gotta
you gotta have those weapons there. I mean, you gotta have somebody. You lost over 100 catches and 16 touchdowns.
But they have brought in guys. I mean, they still have Baldwin and they still have Lockett,
right.
And they brought in Marcus Johnson. They brought in Jerron Brown. We'll see what Amara Darbo does. He was a third round pick last year. It's not like they just have nobody there.
Well, you don't have any proven production in those guys.
But we all. But would you rather have any of those guys? Would you rather have them or Brandon Marshall, for example?
I don't want Brandon Marshall.
Or Dez Bryant, a guy who's declining and who's nuts.
I don't want Dez Bryant.
But it doesn't change the fact that they didn't replace those guys, obviously.
But they replaced something else that they didn't have last year. It's not like they just lost. It's not like they had no running game, lost wide receivers, and did nothing about it.
Well, but, I mean, they replaced the running game, maybe. I mean, we don't know. You have no idea if
right, but they did something. I know, but and CBS doesn't know that either. But they did something. They addressed it.
Well, but I don't understand your point because the CBS line was about wide receiver.
What they lost at that spot.
Not about what they gained at running back.
I'm saying that the way that CBS is looking at this is a little too narrow. We're talking, what's the goal of an offense? Score points. You can do it other ways than with wide receivers, right?
Yeah, but the wide receiver is a necessary element on this team. Outside, I mean, you can't just go and say, well, we've got two proven commodities. Actually, one really proven commodity in Baldwin. Lockett, you've seen here and there, but he has not been a consistent commodity. And the most proven commodity you got in terms of coming in is Brown, who had, what did he have, 29 catches, 31 catches last year, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you have a better running game, you don't need those wide receivers nearly as much. I don't think you need that kind of production. There's a balance.
I don't think you're going to have that kind of – you're not going to have a better running game if you don't have that kind of production.
You need one to set up the other. You can't just be a one – you've seen how a one-dimensional team works for a defense. They know, all right, they either can't throw the ball, so we're just going to load the box and dare them to try to throw the ball because we're going to stop the run.
So you just don't believe in Baldwin or Lockett at all? If you're saying, if you're calling them one-dimensional.
No, I agree with the point that they haven't really replaced – the guys they've lost.
That's a point of fact, but that's not interesting. I mean, obviously.
But that's the point, in my opinion, that they're trying to make, is that they lost a lot of production that they haven't obviously replaced.
But they're using that as a criticism of the team. They've replaced other things on the offense.
Yeah, but that's not the point that they're making. The point that they're making is that they lost two guys who they haven't replaced their production. It's not a comment about anything else but that.
Then why point it out? They're using the fact that
I give up.
They're just analyzing the team here. It's just like looking at a team's needs going into the draft, right? We need a running back. All right, you draft a running back. It's looking at what they perceive to be a hole or something that needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
You lost over 100 receptions and 16 touchdowns between those two guys. However you felt about them, that's what they produced last year.
Who
all right, so now they're gone. What did you bring in to fill that void?
Who says they have to? They filled a different void. And by the way, they did bring in other players that I just named.
But
they brought in wide receivers, and they addressed the running game. The offense on paper, at least according to the way they see it, is going to be better. Now, whether or not Penny works out, who knows?
But that's that you're betting on potential. You've got no guy's never taken a snap at this level. So saying you addressed it.
Would you say that to John Schneider? You're betting on potential? Of course that's what you do when you draft somebody.
But you're acting like they traded an apple for an apple. You didn't.
That's what they're hoping for.
Well, you can hope all you want. All I'm saying is you got a guy. You roll your eyes all you want, Tom.
What would you do, Bob?
I would
you
try
think
to
Brandon Marshall solves this problem? He doesn't.
No, I'm not. How did that turn to Brandon Marshall?
Because you need a wide receiver, and that's what this article is about. It's about Dez Bryant or Brandon Marshall or whoever.
Well, I don't agree with those elements. I'm not saying those guys are the answer.
Well,
but I'm not saying Rashad Penny, a guy who has not taken a snap at the NFL level. You got the other kid that's had, what, 7 receptions or 7 targets?
Mm-hmm.
The biggest producer they brought in is a wide receiver that had 31 catches last year for less than 300 yards. So I think it's an observation. It's saying, here's what you had, here's what they produced, they're gone, and here's what you brought in.
Mm-hmm.
They don't equate to each other yet. Maybe they will.
I just don't see how they have to.
Okay, but if you don't replace that production, you've got no assurances that the run game is going to be better. Just because you drafted a running back doesn't mean we're automatically better.
Absolutely not. You don't have any assurances, but Schneider is betting on that. He is betting on that, absolutely. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay.
He's hoping, he's betting, but the writer's point is here's what's a fact. Here's what was produced last year. You're taking that away. You're bringing in these other guys who haven't produced that.
You're hoping
they can.
But course, you're hoping they can replace it, but it's no guarantee.
So there you go.
Okay. I mean, it doesn't exactly take a whole lot of stones to write an article and say, well, they lost this guy and they didn't replace him. Yeah, we all know that, but they're making up for it in other ways. And they don't even talk about that in the article.
Because they're focusing on the stories about, hey, Des Bryant's out here, here's a good landing spot. He doesn't equate to their holes in the secondary, or they've got other needs that haven't been filled. This is specifically about the receivers, and here's what they lost there. Here's why we think the article, the author thinks he's a viable candidate. I don't, but that's his case that he's making.
Okay, doesn't matter.
All right.
The texters will think I'm a jerk for bringing it up anyway, even though I defended the Seahawks, so it'll be fine.
All right, as we said, John Clayton with us at 2 o'clock today. Keith Hernandez of Seinfeld fame will join us at 2:30. Meanwhile, proof that the NBA regular season is a bit of a joke. Coming up next with Bob Gross and Tom.
You're listening to Bob Gross and Tom.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
It is Bob Gross and Tom. Coming up in 15 minutes, is there anything Blake Bortles can't do? He's superhuman.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
The great Blake Bortles.
He's a hero.
Where did Wassel go?
I don't know. He was just here.
Did he storm out? Am I going to have to take the fidget spinner? I was about to swipe that thing.
The fidget spinner? That'd have been fighting. That'd have been fighting time.
Why do you have to take it away?
I didn't know where you went. I was going to just take it. Maybe you would sense that it was missing. You'd come running back in.
I used the force.
Somebody's touching my fidget spinner.
Wait a minute. My fidget spinner's in trouble.
Something's wrong.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll talk about the brilliance of Blake Bortles. So stay tuned for that. Meanwhile, NBA season, regular season anyway. Most people look at it and go, doesn't really matter. Everybody makes it to the playoffs.
What do they do?
Doesn't
really matter.
That's what I do.
So Tom does.
Especially today after they fired the coach of the year.
Right. So stupid. So stupid.
Our buddy Dwayne Casey.
Seven years in Toronto, 6 of the 7 years. They won more games than they did the previous season. 6 of the 7 years. 59 wins this year. They've won three times in the franchise's history. They've won 50 games, all during Dwayne Casey's tenure.
59-23, the number one overall seed in the Eastern Conference.
I guarantee the Raptors are on the road to relevance.
Irrelevance.
Watch them go.
Now they're going to be relevant.
Watch them go.
Well, they're talking about doing the same thing in Philadelphia. At least the local media is there because they're not happy with Brett Brown. Think about the two teams we're talking about here. The Toronto Raptors and the Philadelphia 76ers. They finally get to the point where they are relevant, make a decent run into the playoffs, and then you got to fire the coaches.
The Sixers won, at least this was the first year.
Yeah.
The Raptors have been winning.
Yeah, the Sixers
have turned around a garbage franchise.
Well, and the Sixers were comedy. So the fact that they're even contemplating that to me is absolutely absurd. I mean, their own fans. We have El Hombre on every week just mocking the fact that, what did they win? 16 games, 14 right. games. I mean, you're talking about the joke of the league, and now you're a playoff team. And now you're talking about firing the coach?
What's your expectation that you're going to go out there, beat LeBron, and win a championship? You know how many different franchises have actually won a championship in the last 40 years? It's like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
You can't have that kind of expectation.
So
it's not the
Toronto one is a complete and utter mystery to me.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, I can see the Philadelphia one. You're thinking, all right, we have now made the transition. And I wouldn't necessarily agree with it. We made the transition to being a good team. Now we need another guy.
Yeah.
And I don't agree with it, but I can see it. But in the case of Toronto, I don't see it. It's an organization getting tired of winning.
Go back. It makes more sense to you, the 76ers?
I can see the 76ers at least. I don't agree with it. But saying, all right, now we've gotten to the point we need to get to. Brent Brown got us here. Now we're going to move. Now we move forward.
He's just not the right man.
He's not
the
right guy to take a
level.
Winning team.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know about that.
I'm saying there's less of an example in the case of Philadelphia than there is in Toronto, where you went from nowhere to somewhere and have been winning consistently.
Yeah.
Capped off by a 59-win season this year.
Second season in a row, second-round playoff loss swept by the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Now, the way they played in that series was brutal, but at the same time, is it a fireable offense for Casey? Evidently, they thought it was.
Yeah,
we happen to like Casey here, just personally.
I freely admit to being biased, but we saw it here. We've seen it here twice. We saw it here with Lou Piniella. We saw it here with George Karl when they didn't renew him in 97, 98 and went to Paul Westphal, and then immediately the decline began.
Pinella left, though. He wasn't fired.
He was traded, wasn't he?
He went to Tampa
Bay. But he kind of wanted
traded,
to go.
But,
yeah, he wanted to go home to Tampa Bay.
Well, behind the scenes, there were stories about arguments with the owner at the time, with Howard Lincoln at the time.
And, well, I don't doubt they had some knocking of the heads, but, I mean, technically they didn't say, all right, you're out of here. He wanted to go to Tampa Bay.
We should get him on the show, too.
Well, well, here's what happened. Listen. But the statement from the Raptors president, I'm not even Masai Ujiri. I don't have.
This is classic. This is classic tired of winning stuff.
After careful consideration, I've decided this is a very difficult but necessary step the franchise must take. As a team, we are constantly trying to grow and improve in order to get to the next level. We celebrate everything Dwayne has done for the organization. We thank him and we wish him nothing but the best in the future. He was instrumental in creating the identity and culture of who we are as a team, and we are so proud of that.
But were they thinking that all along, or did they just come up with this idea after they lost this series?
They came up with this idea after they lost this
series. That's what I think,
too. They've been overachieving in Toronto, and I just think it's crazy.
That's just really, it's knee-jerk, is what it is. Had a couple of bad games, get out.
Sacramento firing Rick Adelman. Winning 55, 60 times. They haven't won. I don't know how many winning seasons they've even had since.
The good news for NBA coaches is that Casey will get hired somewhere else.
If I'm Detroit, I'm already calling the press conference. That's the job. I know it's open right now.
Sure.
I'm already calling a press conference. This guy, it's surprising, but it's not really surprising.
In the NBA in particular, it's not surprising.
The ESPN did an article. They compared it to Flip Saunders, who was at Detroit. Mm-hmm. Won 59 games in 2007 and 8. I don't think they've even been back to the playoffs once or twice since then.
But I guess, and this is because I don't agree with the decision, but I guess from their point, they're saying, hey, we were in the playoffs last year. We need to be better than that this year. And you were swept two years in a row by the same team. So they're saying, we're not getting better. We're exactly what that. So like the 76ers in your mind, hey, this guy got us to this point, but now we need to get to the next step. And we don't believe he's the guy to get us to the next step. I disagree with it.
Yep.
But that's essentially the same thing, right?
Same thing as
Philadelphia, what you were talking about with Philadelphia, where
but the difference with Philadelphia is you have 1 year,
right?
You've had it happen in 1 year. In Toronto, you've got an example of it going on for 6 or 7 years. And again, the ESPN article that I think you're looking at too, goes into metrics on it about how that team has overachieved. The Toronto team has overachieved over the past couple of years with Casey.
Meaning coaching actually made a difference there.
Yes.
Well, theoretically.
Theoretically.
Well, I believe he will, like you said, he's going to
land on his feet.
He'll be fine. He'll be fine. He's now a proven commodity. So we'll see where he lands. Meanwhile, let's give you your pitching matchup brought to you by Heritage Distilling's BSB Brown Sugar Bourbon. This afternoon's matchup, should it happen, is
Marco Gonzalez, 3-2, 5-1-9. Let's get that thing under 5, huh?
Yeah.
Against Matthew Boyd, 1-3 with an even 3 ERA.
How's that possible?
I don't know, with the Tigers of all teams.
Mm.
1-3, 3 ERA.
No run support.
I guess so.
All right, that's your pitching matchup brought to you by Heritage Distilling's BSB Brown Sugar Bourbon. Coming up, is there anything the great Blake Bortles can't do? Wait a minute, what? Coming up with Bob Gros and Tom.
It's Bob Gros and Tom.
Hold up. Hold up.
Hey, wait a minute.
What?
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. What?
It is Wait a Minute What here with Bob Gros and Tom. We're going to eavesdrop at 1 o'clock today, a little different. Then we'll get into an extended edition of Have an Opinion already.
What?
You know, moving some things around. Moving some things around.
Shuffling the deck chairs?
Because we're talking to Keith Hernandez at 2:30.
That's right.
Seinfeld's Keith Hernandez.
Yeah.
We're really going to refer to him as Seinfeld's Keith Hernandez?
Absolutely. Or just for men. We can talk about that. Whatever he wants.
If we were interviewing Roger McDowell, I'd do the same thing. Here's the second
spitter.
I remember when Keith Hernandez was one of the most touted prospects in all of baseball. I think he got a Sports Illustrated cover before he was a major leaguer.
Really?
Did he?
I think he was really highly touted.
He lived up to most of it.
Yeah. No, most definitely. Most definitely.
Title, World Series champion a couple times.
He totally lived up to it.
Did Blake Bortles ever make it to the cover of Sports Illustrated before he turned into the superhero that he is now?
So what's the superhero story?
Well, he reportedly helped stop a would-be robber at his teammate Brandon Linder's house on Wednesday night when an 18-year-old high school student tried to steal Bortles' truck from the driveway in the middle of a party. The kid failed because the truck was boxed in by other cars and got caught when he went into the house and tried to blend in. That's a gutsy move.
It is.
That really is a gutsy move.
I was going to steal the truck. I'm blocked in. So let me just check out this party.
That's incredible stones.
Is that man's name on the list?
Yeah. Only to be noticed by Bortles and a couple of other Jags.
So what did Bortles say? Hey, who's that?
Get him!
He's a hero!
Yeah. I guess he informed people this is a guy that shouldn't be there. By the way, I can tell you that last Mariner game we went up to with the sales staff and the suite, there was a guy that walked in who thought he was real clever just standing there. He just blended in.
That he was crashing the place?
Mm-hmm. And his friends were standing outside the door. They wouldn't walk in.
I think you told me about
that. And he was just standing there, like, smiling, looking at his phone, just acting like he was part of the crowd in there, mm-hmm. and his buddies were outside the door, like, look at what he's doing.
We should have roughed him up. Teach him a lesson.
I mean, needed Blake Bortles.
Yeah, Blake would have said, I'm sorry, can I see your credentials? Do you have any reason to be here? He apparently notified the police department and foiled the whole thing. One thing that came out in this story, though, I'm trying to find the line in the story here. It was funny. Well, one detail in the police report about the lack of security Bortles puts on his stuff is both head-smackingly dumb and honestly pretty unsurprising.
Because he leaves his car unlocked?
Yeah, according to the police report, the 18-year-old student got into Bortles' brand-new Ford F-150, which was left unlocked with the keys inside, and rummaged through the interior.
Mm.
So he was caught on the home surveillance video, and he seemed to have an affinity for the vehicles parked in the driveway. The video was said to show Horton removing Bortles' wallet from the truck, which was later found on the ground. So he left his keys, his wallet, and left it unlocked.
That's trusting.
Or dumb.
You guys leave your cars unlocked?
Heck no.
Even in a garage, I wouldn't do that.
No.
Secure. You in a garage, Graz?
Secure garage.
Yeah. Do you leave it unlocked?
I do.
Why?
No, I don't. Okay. I don't think about it.
Do you leave your keys and wallet in there too?
No, I never do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I automatically lock the car.
Yeah, when you walk away, you just by habit, you go.
Yeah. I mean, small town, although was he in Jacksonville?
Where was
it? I guess it didn't quite qualify as a small town.
It's a metropolis.
It's the largest.
Yeah, it must have been, according to Jacksonville Beach Police.
Okay.
So, there you go. He's very trusting. Here's my wallet. Here's my keys. We'll leave the door unlocked for you.
Come and get it.
It's all yours, kid.
Can we read the Matt Harvey story?
You mean the Cincinnati Reds, Matt Harvey?
Be glad that he's not here.
He sounds like a complete knucklehead. He really does. But, there's a story about him. Trade to the Reds could be a blessing in disguise for Harvey. It's written by John Heyman, but he cites one thing. He says, there's a funny story about Harvey. With him struggling on the mound, but a day off coming, he once asked Terry Collins to stay behind for a night in Miami. And when he rejoined the team the next day, he bragged in the clubhouse nonstop about his exploits the night before with a beautiful woman. Well, one veteran met, tiring of his lack of focus and his emphasis on extracurriculars, shot across the clubhouse saying something to the effect of, that's great, Matt, but has she seen you pitch? He followed that with, that was a nice attempt to get Harvey's attention, but it fell on deaf ears, just like the move to the pen, the abject candor of his pitching coach, and the minors' request.
Yeah,
he does sound like a complete knucklehead.
Sounds like the Mets are more than happy to be rid of him.
Man, they must
what a fall, though.
Breathing a sigh of relief, right?
What an unbelievable, cataclysmic fall.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't help him. I mean, look, he was hurt. Initially, that was what his problem was, but none of this is helping him.
Well, agent get into it with his pitching limit, like the innings limit? Wasn't his agent getting into it with the team about?
This is obviously what was to come, even if he hadn't gotten hurt.
Yeah.
He was going to be a franchise destroyer.
He seems to be who he is. One more here. The Rams wanted to wear those blue and yellow uniforms, the old school ones.
You don't like those?
No.
I kind of dig those.
I like blue and white.
Well.
I like the throwbacks.
The throwback
backs. They refer to these as the Eric Dickerson era uniform.
Yeah. Right?
But they want to wear them more often. And the NFL said, nah.
Why?
They didn't really say why.
They don't really have a reason is the point.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Their COO, Kevin Demoff, says the team asked the NFL for permission to wear the blue and yellow throwbacks more often, but the NFL limited the Rams to wearing them twice last season. He said, Demoff said he's working on explaining to the league office that fans would prefer those uniforms.
Makes no sense.
Why would they care?
I have no idea.
I mean, there are certain rules about the, like a helmet uniform combination. Fine.
Yeah, but this, I mean,
which is also
dumb.
Weird, but that's not even what this is.
No, and this is a uniform they used to wear.
It just doesn't.
It means
make
more
sense.
Uniform sales.
I'd put the uniform that you want them to go with second to what if you go with what they have now, the Dickersons and then the 60s era.
I love those blue. I thought the blue and white looked great.
I like those too. But if the team wants to go this way,
well, sure. Yeah. I agree. If they want to do it, and the fan base likes those better.
Well, and this is what he said. He said we've spent a year educating them, the NFL, on our fan base. He says we forwarded them all of the fan complaints, the emails we get. So I think they're well aware of our fans' preferences. Demoff said the navy blue jerseys the Rams have worn aren't anyone's favorite.
Nobody likes those.
And he's like, if we can avoid wearing our navy jerseys next year, we will. So apparently everybody hates those.
Hmm.
And the NFL is saying, no,
we're not going to do that.
Here's how that's going to go.
All right.
Makes no sense.
All right. So there you go. A few stories for you. Meanwhile, when is Russell Wilson really at his best? Is it when he's on the run or in the pocket? We're going to talk about that next. Also, taking your questions, you can start texting those in. 710-710 Coors Light text line. Any topic or subject is open. Have an opinion already? Coming up with Bob Gross and Tom.